1, 2. Can you all hear me? The sermon this morning can find its seed thoughts in Matthew chapter 2, reading from verse 1. It's a passage that Angelo has read just a few moments ago, but allow me to read it again, especially for recording purposes. It reads as follows. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God add a blessing to the public reading and exposition of His Word. This is the finale, the final part of our series entitled Closer. It's our Advent series, our incarnational Christmas time series. And the big idea is Emmanuel. God is with us. If I could put it and remove myself from that statement, God is with you. I want you to understand that the superpowers of God go right to the point of omnipresence. To such are the degrees of His power that He is able to incarnate Himself in human flesh. And like Fritz has said, it keeps theologians humble. But we know, as Luke proclaims, that all things are possible with God. And so this incarnation is an act of God that says, "I'm willing to do whatever it takes." It is the first step after creation and the fall that God takes to remedy the biggest problem that you and I have. And that problem got two things, but it's one coin, two sides. And the first problem is a generic problem, and it's the problem of sin. It's the problem where I want to do the right thing or the good thing. I am aware or have knowledge of the highest spiritual modalities found in the Bible, but I just can't achieve it. Try as I will, I just fall short of the glory of God time and time again. It's the problem of your lack of capacity, of your lack of purity, and your lack of ability to achieve divinity and godlike status. And God says you can never become God, but you can function in the divine. Walk in Christ Jesus. So He says, listen, you can't get to me. I need to get to you. I need to come closer. And so what we celebrate today is Him taking the first step to be closer to humanity. The second step, of course, is the cross. And for those of you who don't know, Christmas makes Easter possible. Easter makes Christmas significant. We only celebrate Christmas the way we do because of Easter. If Easter had not happened, then Christmas would just be another celebration of a baby who got way too expensive gifts. But because of Easter, Christmas is significant. And so that's the setting that we find ourselves today. And part five is a slight change in the tone of the series. For four sermons, we have encouraged you to conscientize your mind, your spirit, and even your body, your hands, to the fact that God is closer. And God wants to come closer, so don't resist Him. But today, I'd like to focus on this other aspect, which is Him calling you, inviting you, commanding you, come closer. So if you want a title, it's Come a Little Closer. There are a number of exhortations in Scripture. I'll give you two that directly exhort humanity and individuals to come closer to Him. We very often do not heed that call because of the second part, the other side of that coin. The first side was sin. The other side of that coin is a more individualized one. It is the expression of personal sin. We call it self. And the idea is that I am my worst enemy. I want to put myself on the throne of my life instead of having the Savior Jesus call the shots in my life. Any man who is unwilling to replace himself on the throne of his life is a man who cannot see the kingdom of God. There are numerous metaphors in Scripture, one of the most famous to describe this act, this happening, this closeness, this encounter with God, is the term, he must be born again. So Jesus invites you to come a little closer. In Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, one of my favorite exhortatory verses, it refreshes my soul every time I read it. It goes as follows, come unto me, all you who labor, you is in plural, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many of you sat up till 12 last night just so you could open presents? And I could hardly keep your eye open. I'm talking to my kids. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Be discipled by me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I could preach on this, but this isn't my text. Suffice to say that when you come closer to God, there is a benefit. According to Matthew 11, the benefit here is that you will get rest and your burden will be lightened because the yoke that He gives you is a light one. Now that's the supernatural right there. I don't know if you've ever read this and thought to yourself, why even have a yoke? Because you see, the great thing is to take the yoke off of someone and say, you are free, go and run in the field. But that's not what Jesus says. Because He knows that your success, that your destiny and that your promotion in every area of your life, but most notably your relationship with God, is dependent upon your proximity to God. Amen. And so He doesn't want to unyoke you. He doesn't want to unburden you. He doesn't want to unslave you for the sake of your own selfish expression. No, He says, come to me, and the benefit is I'll be close to you. You'll be yoked to me. We'll walk through this life step by step, side by side. Together we go into the yonder, for I am your life and your success. Come a little closer. The second verse I'd like to encourage you with, it's a long introduction. This is your Christmas gift. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 55. And allow me to read from verse 1. And it starts off again. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, say amen. Come, buy and eat. Another supernatural act. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and will sustain you, and you labor for that which does not satisfy you and fill you? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. I want you to understand all of these benefits. And let me just summarize them in two words. Number one, you will be provided for. Number two, you will be prominent. Other nations will run to you. But all of this comes out of a need that you have, which is hunger and thirst. And he says, supernatural, you will come and you will, without money, buy. That's another one of those paradoxes in Scripture. What he should be saying is, without money, you will take. And that's the great thing about the gospel. I bring nothing, and he gives me everything. In fact, it's less than nothing that you come to the cross with. You come with your sins. You come with your troubles. You come with your burdens. You come with your losses. You come with your negatives. And he gives you proximity. He gives you provision. And he gives you prominence. Now let's turn to the passage of today. And like a true Baptist pastor, I've got 3 points. After the 5 points I just gave you, of course. So, there are three groups of people that I've highlighted in this passage who came closer to Jesus. And this is baby Jesus, of course, but it's Jesus. C.S. Lewis has done some excellent work on power, as has Watchman Nee. And this is something they both agree on, that power not expressed does not mean that power does not exist. So let me explain that. And I'm slightly twisting the words for my sermon. But what that means is all the potential for world domination and saviorhood rests in the baby Jesus. Now, he's not expressing it at that moment, but that's where it rests. And so, just like these three groups of people, all the potential for sainthood, not saviorhood, which is the accepting of Christ's sacrifice and atoning death and resurrection, all of that potential rests. It's possibility for you, as long as you draw breath. There is the possibility that you could hear the gospel and repent and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I know my problem. I understand my selfishness. And I give this to you. This is my offering to you. There's nothing I can give you that will buy me salvation. There's nothing that I can offer you that will curry favor with you. All I can say is, here am I, a broken human being, throwing myself at the mercies at Jesus' feet. These three people, I put them this way. The first group are the clued up group. These are the people in the know. And in this story, they would be the magi. Now, I know we say three wise men. We probably get that because there were three gifts given. But there could have been less. You know, they were plural, so there could have been a minimum of two, and there could have been a maximum of we don't know. But they weren't necessarily three wise men. But there was a group of people who drew closer to God because they were clued up. And let me give you a few reasons that you might want to apply to your own life in terms of coming a little closer. The first one is this. They knew the scriptures. They studied the word. Now, at that point in human history, of course, the scriptures did not include the New Testament. But the revelation that they had, the little that they knew, that which were they exposed to, they took seriously. Some of you might have only been to Sunday school and the only story you know is Jesus walking on water. Maybe you know a little bit about Jonah in the big fish's belly. Maybe you know a little bit about Job and how he was tormented and tested by Satan, the great tempter of our souls. I want you to understand that you might not know the Bible cover to cover. Who does? Ronnie. The point is, you might not know. You have limited exposure to divine revelation in Scripture. But I want to ask you to use what you've got. And then grow in it. So these wise men are called wise men for the fact that they studied Scripture. They were not Jews. And let me just tell you, brothers and sisters, Jesus himself said, I have children not of this fold. People have misinterpreted, they don't understand it, and they've misapplied it in this very liberal, secular, humanistic, non-Christian age in which we live. It simply means that beyond the house of Israel, there are other crowds where the divine calling grace of God is active. I want to tell you, the church is bigger than what you think. That your sanitized Christian culture is not the only sanitized culture that the Holy Spirit has engaged with. There are Muslims coming to know the Lord, and guess what? Over Christmas, they ain't eating fruit mince pies. They're eating some wasas and spring rolls with masala. God has sanitized and punctuated the reality, and they have come to know Jesus. Our traditions around that are largely cultural. Hence, trees, tinsel, lights. But in other parts of the world, that's not how you celebrate Christmas. Now, it doesn't matter. I would be at home in any setting as long as Jesus is central. And so they were wise simply because they knew the Scripture. I would encourage you to know the Scripture. If you don't know it, continue to learn, continue to grow. But respond to what you know. Don't be dismissive. Secondly, you don't want to use Scripture for your own nefarious means. I'll say more about that in a moment. But they were wise because they didn't do that. They had an honest, searching heart. Let me speak to the searchers amongst us this morning. Those who are searching for God, searching for meaning, searching for a deeper or a higher purpose in life. I want to tell you, all of that can be wrapped up and found in Jesus. In fact, not only can it be found, it can only be found in Jesus. But if you are a sincere seeker of truth, if you are a sincere seeker of salvation, I want you to know you will end up by Jesus. God will not allow you to fall by the wayside when truly you are seeking. These Magi men, Moors, as you heard, dark skin color in a foreign pagan culture probably, punctuated by the grace of God, and yet they are the ones searching for the Savior that was born. No one in Jerusalem was looking, and they should have been the ones who come a little closer. So you might be in another land. You might be from another culture. You might even come from another creed or religion. But this morning I want you to hear and hear clearly that Jesus can punctuate your reality and he calls you, come a little closer. The second group of people were not just the clued up ones, and I hope all of you are the clued up ones, but they're also the clueless ones. That's pretty much my high school career. The clueless ones. The clueless ones are those who follow orders without having any type of ethics, Christian integrity, or backbone. These are the guys who headed sins And they are wedged, they are caught between a rock and a hard place. They are caught between the clued up ones and the third section, which I'll mention in a moment, the third group. But these are the guys, they follow orders. And to a degree, that's honorable. But they're the ones that Herod says, go out and kill every young child, every male, 2 years and under. Because that's about the period that he was waiting for the Magi to get back to him. So he says, every male child in Israel, go and kill them, because one of them must be Jesus. And then I've eliminated a threat to my throne and my hold on political power in this failed monarchy. You got to be very careful that you're not the clueless one. That you do not become a pawn in an evil system that seeks to work against the kingdom of God. It is amazing that so many of us have got lofty ideals, ethics, and statements of intent, integrity. But yet, we form part of a system, whatever that system might be. And today is not one of my social activism sermons, although it would fit in perfectly at this point. We form part of a system where we are used as pawns to advance a system that oppresses people, keeps people down, and results in the death of innocent ones. Be very careful that you are not clueless. We live in what we call the information age. So inform yourself. And let me combine this not only with worldly knowledge, understanding what's what, because there are plenty of conspiracy theories around. I'm not speaking of those. Inform yourself with the Word of God. Anything that raises itself up as a banner against God, be very, very careful. The third group of people. So we've got the clued up ones. We've got the clueless ones. None of you here today. And then we have the crude ones. I'm not speaking about a type of oil at this point in time. But I am speaking about those who are straight out evil, nefarious, malevolent, manipulative as well when they need to be. But for those in the know, we know who you are. Herod was an evil king. But you got to be very careful with people like Herod, because Herod knows the scripture to a large degree. He has scriptural and spiritual advisors all around him that he can consult with, and they will give him advice. But yet, his intention does not match his spoken word. Let me give you an example. The Magi come, and they follow protocol. Let's go to the ruler of this nation, and let's ask him where the king of the Jews, the ruler of Israel, as Matthew puts it, is to be born. Maybe he knows. Maybe he'll be happy that the Messiah has come. He's not happy. But he doesn't show that he's not happy, because he has manipulative, nefarious ways. And so he says, why don't you go and find? I mean, such is his manipulation that he even gets the good people to do the work for evil. He says, you go and find him. And then bring him back. And the way I'm seeing this, if this was a movie, say, bring him back to me so that I may worship him. You see the words? But is that the sense that you're getting? That I want to worship him? Not at all. And we've got to be very careful, brothers and sisters, as Christians, that the ethic, the actions of our lives matches up with the spoken words and the intent thereof. You bring curse. I don't want to get into it, but Herod died a nasty death. And I want to, and by the way, he killed his own brothers, he killed his own sons. This was an evil dude, because he wanted to hold on to power. If it were up to him, he'd even kill baby Jesus. He tried. But he says, I want to worship him. I don't know what the proportion is of the three groups this morning. Those who are clued up. Those who are clueless, I don't know. But the agenda is set for me by people like Herod. And then there's the group like Herod. We just crude. We use anybody for our nefarious means. Jesus had a word for people like this, and he called them metaphorically wolves in sheep's clothing. It's a reality. So I don't want to just tell you to be careful of wolves in sheep's clothing. I want to tell you that the grace of God is strong enough that even the wolves get saved. Not only can goats become sheep, wolves can go to the dentist and lose their teeth. His name is Jesus. You see, the grace of God is sufficient for anyone, unless judgment has already been proclaimed, as in the case of Satan. In other words, he cannot be saved. The devil cannot come and say, you know what, I repent, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Judgment was proclaimed on him in Genesis 3 already. And it's done. You and I have got a special dispensation of grace, where he says, yeah, you were fooled by that great nefarious being, Satan, in the form of a serpent, who tricked you, who said one thing but had a malevolent intent to get you closer to him rather than closer to God. But I'm giving you a chance because I love you. Satan is judged. The door is closed for him. But for humanity, there's a door open for you. Do not be ignorant and clueless to that fact. And even if you were a wolf, or even as Marshall Shelley, the former editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, even as he says, most people are not wolves, most people are not goats, most people in the church today are hurt dragons. They're injured in their soul, they're broken in their emotions, they've been hurt by other people, sometimes by Christians, and now they breathe fire. He says, but the good news is, the grace and the presence of God can break even that curse upon your life. So I don't care which group you're in this morning. I don't care if you're the clued up ones, because by the end of the service, hopefully you'll be more clued up. I don't care if you're the one that's just being the agenda set by others. You're the clueless ones, because hopefully by the end of today, you'll enter the group of being clued up. And I don't care if you're even the crude ones like Herod, who manipulate and misuse and have malevolent ideas and goals and just want to hold on to power. I don't care who you are. All I know is Jesus is able. Amen. Close your eyes and bow your head. Worship team, please join me up front before we sing the last song.